like you did. And I trust that, again, that as we wait on the Lord here this morning, that he will be the one that speaks. And I find myself a little bit at that place. And the message I have to share this morning is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. You can turn there. In the meantime, the advertisement for Camp Out was shared here this morning, and I was reminded between family elder time and this time that maybe it'd be good for those of you that are visiting here that don't know what family elder time is, family elder time, Camp Out. What the Camp Out is, see, words, wow, man, I don't know what's going on here in this head this morning, but I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But anyway, what was I saying? Camp out is happening at United Zion Camp Grove, and we will not be here the first Sunday of September. There will be no church service here for those of you that are visiting. So just something to bear in mind as you prepare for the coming month of September. Anyway, 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read the entire chapter and share a couple of thoughts, and trusting the Lord to lead your thoughts and your mind as the Spirit speaks to you this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." So Peter is making it clear that this is something he is sharing again as a reminder. And that's the purpose of this sermon, I believe, this morning, is a reminder again to us of what God has prepared. And verse 2, it says, "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Verse 3, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, being diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blemish. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I titled the message this morning, Being Steadfast. Be steadfast. And I know that throughout the last number of sermons that I've shared with you, there's a bit of a theme that I'm sharing with you, and it is the whole idea of where we have our focus, where our focus is, I think is so important right now. We are in a time where there's lots of things going on around the world, and I think we're close to the end times. I think we're told that we don't know exactly when, but we do know the season. And just on a lighter note, you know how I know it's close to the end times? This morning, while I was sitting on my recliner with my Bible, reading and studying the Word of God, there's a little kitten jumped up on the recliner arm and walked across my Bible, and I was okay with it. There's strange things going on. There is, seriously. That thing was purring. But then the comfort I took as I looked between its ears and I saw the scripture that all these things will be dissolved. So, anyway, there is a lot of strange things going on. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. There's a lot of things happening in our world today, and I'm encouraging us again this morning to remember to keep our focus and our eyes on Jesus, the only one, the rock, the solid rock that will not change, will not melt, will not burn, will not be dissolved when everything else is being dissolved. Then the Lord Jesus will still stand firm. God's word will still be true. And there's a fulfillment of God's word that is coming that I want us to take note of in this scripture here this morning. And I'm just going to start just by going back over the scripture here a little bit. It says, Beloved, I write to you that the second epistle in both which to stir up our pure minds by way of reminder, okay? So he wants to stir our minds up to remember that this is not it. This is not it. The things and stuff. That you may be mindful of the words which are spoken by the holy prophets. It seems like there were those that were taking the scriptures and were twisting them to say that there wasn't going to be a day of the Lord, that time was going to continue, time was going to go on. And so Peter takes this time here to point out the fact that to the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day to him. God doesn't work within time. But the beautiful thing that I find in this here scripture and this reminder is that in light of the fact that the earth and the earth and everything that was created in it was created by the word of God. God spoke and it happened. And then it says that this all is being held together until the day of perdition. This in verse 7 it says, but the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word. It is the same word that created the heavens and the earth. The same word of God is what is holding the world together, is holding the universe together, is holding everything in its place. It is the word of God spoken. Can you imagine what will happen when God lets go? Can you imagine what will happen when God lets go of holding it together? And it goes on, and the scripture tells us what will happen, and we'll take a look at that. But first of all, it says, okay, so we get discouraged. We say, okay, so when is God going to come? I thought the 6 o'clock this morning would have been a good time. You know, as I was looking at the scripture, and I was feeling a little bit like, how do I have anything to share this morning that is encouraging? And I realized again, I had to come to place again. It's not what I speak. It's not what I say. It's the Spirit of God speaking to you. So listen for the Spirit of God speaking to you. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Spirit of God speaking into your heart this morning. Because that's what's important. That's what's important. I wish Karen could be here this morning. Karen is my best fan. Karen tells me, you know, when I preach a sermon, she is the most honest with me. And I appreciate that so much. You know, you come through the line, and I know I said this before, but I'll say it again. You come through the line, and you shake my hand, and you say, good sermon, yeah. That's okay. I'm not saying I don't care what you think, but the one that really matters to me is what Karen says to me after a sermon. And so, good morning, Karen. And she is watching this morning, so I expect to hear if I have hot soup or cold soup when I get home today. So, so it'll make a difference. Anyway, this is what God says, and this is where my heart is this morning. This is what I plead with you, that we don't get so wrapped up in what is going on in this world that we miss what is most important to God here this morning. That we don't become so wrapped up in the politics and in the pandemics and the things that are going on in this world that we miss what God wants this morning. And it's right here in this verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering." Why? So that we can build our mansions bigger, that we can buy our next house, that we can buy our next car? No. He says, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why is God still holding on? Why is God not allowing the elements in the earth to be burned up? It is that one more soul might be saved and brought to the kingdom of God. And what is it? Is there something that is here this morning that is standing in the way of you being able to be that witness for Jesus, the one that will speak the gospel truth, and not ashamed, because it is God's heart. It is God's heart. It is what God wants. I like the kitten because Karen likes the kitten. I think it'll grow on me. But I like the kitten because Karen likes the kitten. Is your heart this morning, is your heart for what God wants? Or is it so tied up in what is going on with me that I can't see past myself? Has this thing become such a stumbling block that I can't even speak the word of God to people anymore? Or have you taken the opportunity? Have I taken the opportunity to speak the word of God like never before? I'm ashamed sometimes that I have not spoken where I could have spoken. I try to speak where I can, but I'm ashamed for the times that I did not speak when I could have spoken. People's hearts are open. People's hearts are troubled. Whenever there is an uprising, whenever there's a stir, whenever you build a new house, whenever you get married, or whenever a church ordains a new leadership or builds a building, it's the things that stir people up that cause people to think. And people are thinking right now. People are thinking because things do not seem stable politically, health-wise. People are thinking. Their hearts are open. Their minds are open. And I need to continue on with this, with the scripture here. And I would be remiss this morning if not in the middle of this. Okay, let me read verse 10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a, what? A great noise. And I thought about trying to present a great noise to you this morning, but there is no way that I can come close to what I believe the scripture is speaking about when it talks about the heavens passing away with a great noise. They will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with what? A fervent heat. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. What does that mean? Does that mean the sun, the moon, the stars, and those things are going to melt with a fervent heat? Yes, I believe it does. And not to get into the argument about the Jehovah's Witness think that all the evil will be wiped out in this world, I wouldn't even argue with them, okay? I believe here's what the scripture says. Let's look at it for what it says and believe that God is leading us. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth, whoa. Are you telling me that everything that I have worked for, everything that I have spent my life on, everything that I have wrapped my heart around is going to melt? Yes. Yes, it is. So the time that you have spent building this earth, the big bridges that are built, the buildings that are built, that men have put their names on, and bridges that men have put their names on, and parks that people have put their names on, is going to melt. Yes, it is. It will mean absolutely nothing for the kingdom of God. So our trucks, our cars, our houses, our gold, our silver, and you see how I say ours, mine, is going to melt and be burned up. So where should my heart be? Where should my passion be? Where would I put my passion? Knowing that these things are going to be burned up and done away with. Then in verse 11 it says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Okay, taking into consideration that all these things are going to burn up, all these things are going to melt, is it right to provide for your family and to provide a place to live and to provide food for your family? Yes, not a problem. Where's my heart at? Where's my heart at? Is it the only thing I think? Do you walk out of these doors on a Monday morning or Sunday afternoon or walk out your house door on a Monday morning and never mention God until Sunday morning again when you meet somebody and say, wow, good to be alive, good to be here, God bless you? I'm asking. I'm not accusing. Where is our hearts at? Because Paul, as Peter said, this is to stir us up, to remind us that the things that we have, all the things that we have in this earth, all the things that we have put our hearts into is going to burn up. If that's where our heart has been, if that's where our passions have been, is it my business? Is it my buildings? Is it my, you know, even the elements, the very elements, the earth? And somebody shared with me that was it Einstein that discovered the splitting of the atom, you know, and that whole thing. Well, if you take into consideration, this is probably when the earth and the stars and all that stuff, when they melt, is possibly the biggest nuclear disruption you will ever experience in your life. When those atoms come apart, when you go, okay, think about it. When God's not holding it together anymore, kaboom! With a loud noise, a noise that will. I would not be any kind of pastor this morning if I would not warn you of the reality of hell. I would not be a pastor to you if I would not warn you, if I would make you feel good on your way to hell this morning. It is therefore that I take a few moments just to remind us of the reality of hell. And it's heavy. It is. There's nothing light about it. The reality of hell is very real. A place where the fire is not quenched and the worm doesn't die. Where there is darkness, it calls it outer darkness. Like you could touch it, you could almost feel it. You can't see a thing. Darkness. How does fire and there's no light? I don't know. But hell is a reality. Hell is a real place. And when we look at this here, things, and therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? What persons should we be? We should be people who care enough about the people around us that we will forget about the pandemics and the politics, and we will reach out and we will minister to those people that are lost and dying and are going to hell while we shut our mouths. While I shut my mouth. Again, I'm not scolding. I'm reminding us, stirring us up to remember there's so much more going on. Let's not miss it. Let's not miss the opportunity. There are people who will die and will go to hell. Hell is a real place. It's a reality. I told you, I think, I pulled some notes from a sermon that I did in 2014, the story that I told of the video clip of the tsunami in Indonesia, where people were down by the shore playing on the beach, and all of a sudden, the water receded out into the, it went out, and people walked out and were picking up seashells and stuff, and they were excited and they were talking, and the person that was doing the video was up on a hill overlooking the beach. And they could see the wave, the tsunami wave that was coming. And those people that were down there on the beach at water level could not see the wave that was coming. All they saw was, wow, this opened up and there's seashells and stuff to pick up. And they were running out and they were picking up. And one man in particular had his back turned towards the ocean while he was bent down picking up. And the people that were videoing were screaming. They were screaming at the man to run. But he was consumed in what he was doing and paid no attention to the screams and the shouts that were being presented. And the wave came in and just over top of him. The Bible this morning is talking about a happening that there will be no turning back. When Noah built the ark, and when Noah and his family got into the ark, and God shut the door, boom, it was all over. It was all over. There was no opportunity to repent. There was no opportunity to come and cry out to the Lord at that point anymore. The train had left the station, in other words. The train is going to leave the station, friends, and some of our family and friends are not going to be on it. Because we were so wrapped up, so uptight, so unwilling to stand out and be different and speak the word of God to those people who were dying and going to hell. The most important question that you have to answer today is, where will you spend eternity? The most important question you have to answer today is, where will you spend eternity? To the unbeliever, this melting of the, this passing of the heavens and the earth, the melting, the loud noise, fearful. To the believer, it is the fulfillment of a promise. To the believer, it is a fulfillment of the promise. And if you're here this morning and you know in your heart that you have been redeemed, you have been saved, you have been washed in the blood, you call it what you want, that you have made things right with God, then you have nothing to fear when this earth is dissolved, because your heart is not fixed on it. Your heart is fixed on heaven. A new heaven and a new earth, it says, as we go on into the scripture. Heaven or hell is your choice. The most unloving thing that I could do for you is to make you feel good on your way to hell. So this is not about feeling good this morning. It's about evaluating. It's about reevaluating. Where am I at? What is God doing in my life? Have I truly committed myself to him? Have I made myself one of his? And the scripture goes on and says in verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, who? We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. Does that not sound like a place you want to go? Does that not sound like a place that you want to go to? A place where a new heaven and a new earth and righteousness dwelling there? Hallelujah. Why wouldn't you want all your friends to come along? Why wouldn't you want all your neighbors to come along? Why wouldn't you want everyone that you know to come along to such a place? New heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. And in verse 14 it says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Looking forward to these things. Okay, so here you just got done telling us that the heaven and the earth are going to be burnt up and they're going to pass away with a loud noise, but we're supposed to look forward to it. Are you looking forward to it? Are you looking for, come on, are you looking forward to it? Yes, we should be. We should be joyful. We should joyfully look forward to not the destruction of sinners, but what God has prepared for his people. what God has prepared for his people. And once we do that, once we start to see it for what it is, once we start to focus on the fact that this is going to burn up, this is going to dissolve, then it'll make a difference in how we look at and reach out to and minister to the people around us. And we go on in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent. Be diligent. I had to think of Jamie and Eric had a dog. They have a dog in the kennel. And one day a piece of treat fell down between the boards of the kennel. So the dog did not forget it for days afterwards. The dog would scratching on the boards trying to get to that treat. When the dog was outside the kennel, she was digging, trying to get under the kennel. Diligent. Diligent to get that treat. Okay, so the Bible says, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. And here is the biggest testimony that we can give to the world right now is peace. The biggest testimony that we have to offer the world is peace. And the Bible says when this happens, when the earth is burned up and the elements are melted away, are you going to be found in peace by him? By him meaning who? God. Is God going to find you in peace? When you're driving down the road in your pickup truck or you're in your car or wherever it might be, if it's in your living, is God going to come into your truck and find you at peace? Singing hallelujah. Or are you going to be shouting and swearing and shaking your fist at the other driver? Or is he going to come into your living room and find you and your spouse at peace with each other? Or is he going to come to your place of work and find you at peace? It says, listen, be diligent. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. And my question is there peace in your heart this morning? With all the things that are going on, with all the political stuff, and I know that it can be troubling. But it becomes troubling when we lose focus, when we lose sight of who and what kingdom we're a part of. Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would have the grace to live in this world but not be part of it. Do we live in this country? Yes. Can we be part of this whole system? Yes. But when you lose focus, when you lose sight that there's a kingdom of God that supersedes every other kingdom, that's what we're part of. That's what you and I are part of this morning. We're a part of a kingdom that supersedes every other kingdom. The kingdom of God comes underneath people and lifts people up. The kingdoms of this world rule over people. And when they lose rule, when they lose power, then what are we going to do? And he goes on, he says, to be found in him in peace without spot and blemish. Now, I want you to raise your hand this morning if you're here without spot and blemish. Okay? No, I didn't think so. There is not one of us that can stand here this morning and say that I am without spot or blemish. Now, I want to again raise your hand if you're covered by the blood of Jesus this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are covered by the blood of Jesus, God then sees you as pure and holy before him. Doesn't mean you don't mess up. Doesn't mean that you don't mess up. But what he says here, in peace, without spot and blemish, diligently, without spot and blemish. I took my father to a little restaurant. We were going away for the evening, and he was dressed up in his Sunday best, and we stopped at the up along 897 and Country Corner or whatever it is, and we got French fries and hamburgers and sat down at the table to eat, and my dad got the ketchup bottle and opened the ketchup bottle to pour ketchup on his French fries, and apparently the ketchup bottle had been sitting there in the sunshine too long. It was under a lot of pressure. It was spoiled. It smelled bad. And my dad was getting somewhat up in age at that time, and things weren't registering quite correctly, and he sat there with this ketchup spewing out, and it was on his shirt. So his shirt was spotted and blemished. But you know, we tried to scrub that out. You know, you don't feel comfortable going away with a shirt that has a spot or a blemish. You know, if I had any any cat on me this morning, I would have made sure I got it off. You know, we don't go away with spots or blemishes. We diligently try and work it out of our shirts and things. That's what God's asking for us. God has given us the grace. It is by grace. It is by grace that we are able to do that, and we'll get into that a little later. By the grace of God, we are able to be pure and holy before Him, and it is through the Holy Spirit. So if you're trying to work out spots and blemishes without the Spirit of God this morning, you're not going to work. Not going to happen. Isn't going to happen if without the Spirit of God, you can't work out the spots and the blemishes, okay? So it's the Spirit of God within you that makes you able to do that. I need to go on. And then in 15 it says, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand. And here's the kicker, that we know to be true today, which untaught, unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. So Peter is warning again. He's reminding people that there are those who are taking the scriptures and they are twisting them and they are using them and they're to their own destruction. And so we live in a time, we live in a day where there are all kinds of things, all kinds of books, all kinds of sermons, all kinds of speakers. But I believe Peter's reminding us again, and then it goes on in verse 17, which I believe applies to this, says, you therefore, beloved, who's he speaking to? You, the beloved, the Christian, the true child of God. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So we also need to be aware that there are things being taught. There are scriptures that are being twisted to the destruction of individuals. So he says that, beware of that. Now that you know that beforehand, that you know that, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Therefore, the title of the sermon, Be Steadfast. Be steadfast. Steadfast is solid. It's immovable. It is unshakable. Why? Because it is built on a foundation that doesn't give. It is built on a foundation that holds. And he says, lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the wicked, the error of the wicked. And then in verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow. Don't just stay there, but grow in the grace that God has given you, the ability God has given you through the Spirit of God in you. Grow in the grace that God has given you. Grow. You also have knowledge, okay? So in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, grow. And of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're trying to live a life without spot and blemish, if you're here this morning and you're trying to live a life of peace, if you're here this morning and it's not happening, have you surrendered your heart to Jesus? And Jim, if you will prepare a song of invitation, because I do believe I'll open the altar up here this morning, that if there's someone that feels the need to do business with God, the altar is open. But don't walk away, because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. He also says that these things, but the day of the Lord in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come, how? As a thief in the night. You know, our Sunday school lesson here this morning, you know, they prepared for the thief that was to come. And they were aware that there was a thief. We're aware that this is coming. And so therefore, there's other scriptures that say that we shouldn't be caught off guard because we know the time, the season. We have the story of the the virgins that didn't have enough oil and had to go out and get it. And while they were out, the bridegroom came, the door was shut. There is no time like now. And I beg of you this morning, if you're not at peace, and if you do know Christ and you've realized that you have left your heart run away with you, you've left your mind run away with your heart, I could say. Let's stand together. If you realize that it sounds extremely fearful, the idea of all this being dissolved and melted and done away with, if that sounds fearful, then maybe I need to examine, where's my heart really fixed on? What is my heart set on? And so we will, after a prayer, I'll have Jim lead us in a song. And again, the altar is open as you see fit. You don't need to come up front. If you want to do business with God where you're standing, do that too. But I believe there's a benefit. There's something in confessing. There is something in that happens in the spiritual world when we are willing to yield to the fact that I need help. I need help. Confessing. And the Bible calls us to confess our faults one with another. Pray for one another that we might be healed. Those kind of things. So that's coming before the Father. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, for your written word. And I pray, Father, that the word would be protected this morning, that it would go to the heart and it would produce fruit. So God, I give this here time to you. Father, I pray that your spirit would move among us, Father, that we would not be slack in the calling that you have placed on us, but that we would be able to honor you and glorify you. God, I pray for anyone who is struggling here this morning or might be feeling a need, Lord, to make things right with you. I pray that that would be able to happen and that you would receive the honor and the glory in it. God, we are in this day and in this time, not by mistake. You placed us here, and there's a purpose for it. So we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.